Begin the current daven sefer Yivam Mistaf Ayin. Begin 11 lines down by the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnayos. That the Mishnayos were telling us that there are certain individuals that when they cohabit with a woman, they're paislin v'loy machilin, which means to say that they actually are like a double-edged sword. They cause problems for a bas kohen, which is a bas kohen, the daughter of a kohen, she's allowed to eat truma. But when she cohabits with this man, then he invalidates her. She cannot continue eating the truma from her father. And v'loy machilin, that is, even if, let's say, she's a bas Yisrael, and the one she's cohabiting with would generally, let's say, allow her to eat truma if, let's say, she got married to him, but v'loy machilin, in this situation, these individuals would not be able to allow her to eat truma. Now, on that, our Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah concluded with these types of halachas, and then entered another area of paisel and v'loy machilin. That is, ho'eved paisel, the eved, a slave, is also one of these individuals, that if he can invalidate a woman, let's say she was a bas koyin, that was able to eat truma, he invalidates her mishum bia, through cohabitation, as all the previous cases of the previous two Mishnayos were discussing regarding when this individual cohabits with the woman, what happens, and that is, he can invalidate her. However, v'chulu, the end of that statement said, but he's ain't a paisel mishum zera. And that is, if let's say he's a grandchild of this woman, and this woman, if she's married to a Kohen, or if she's married to a Yisrael, depending if she's a Bas Kohen or Bas Yisrael, this grandchild will not be relevant to invalidate her regarding because there's a child. Let's say she's a Bas Kohen who is married to Yisrael, and her daughter that she had, that the child that she had, their son, who had cohabited with a slave woman, then had a grandchild which is a slave, which is the case as we had discussed in the previous daf, that this grandchild, although generally when the Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael, and there's any grandchild, as our Gemara will bring a brisa that will elaborate on this halacha, that then we said that she's still connected to that husband, although he's dead and the child is, let's say, dead, but as long as the grandchild's still alive, is she still connected? Therefore, this grandchild should make her puzzle from Truma. That's what the Mishnah was saying, that if the grandchild is an Eved, then he will not consider his grandmother still having a grandchild, some type of child or grandchild, and therefore she's not connected anymore to her husband who is Yisrael, and therefore she could be like any widow that doesn't have a child, could go back to her father's household and eat truma. So therefore again, this is segueing from the halachas that I was discussing regarding certain individuals, that the cohabitation with them, let's say a bas kohen, to these psulim, let's say Nosin, a Mamzer, a Chal, all these individuals will make her puzzle from our father's Truma. And we said the same thing applies to an Eved, but regarding a different Halacha, he will not puzzle in the sense of being a grandchild, who that considers her, whether for good or for bad, connected to the Kohen to eat Truma, or connected to Yisrael to not eat Truma, that the Eved will not be relevant. And that the Gemara is my time. What's the reason for that? That we're saying that this grandchild or child, whatever it is, that if it's an Eved, that will not consider as if she has a child to say that she's still connected to her Yisrael husband, to say that she's possible from going back to her father's household, who's Kohanim, to be able to continue in Truma. So I think when it says Amakra, there's a pasuk that says, Ha'isha, the woman, which we're talking about, in this case, this is a reference to a shefcha, a maidservant. That's the context of this pasuk. Now, in this context, we're talking about this grandmother, who she was Bas Kohen, that was married to a Yisrael. Her son that she had from that Yisrael had cohabited with a woman that was a slave woman. Now, regarding such a woman, the pasuk tells us that the woman Vilodeha and her children, Tia Vagaymer, will be who's considered that? It will be for the owner. What that means is that the child of a maidservant is not considered the child of her father. It's considered a child only of her mother, and that is, it's a slave just like the mother's a slave. And therefore, the owner owns not just the mother now, but even the child. And therefore, this grandmother, who had a regular Jewish son, but who cohabited with a slave woman, that grandchild is not considered his child, is considered only the mother's child as a slave woman. And therefore, this grandmother essentially has no grandchildren, because although in reality it would seem that there is, but in halacha there is not, because it's not considered after the yichus of the father, and that's why we said that the eved will only passel when he cohabits with a woman, but not as a grandchild of a woman to say that she has grandchildren, to say that she's still connected to her Yisrael husband, not being able to go back to her father's household. Now, however, the Mishnah contrasted this with a mamzer. that if a woman has a grandchild, an illegitimate child, he will be paisul amachal. He is significant in the sense as a grandchild that if, let's say, the woman's a bas kohen married to Yisrael, he will invalidate her from eating truma. And it will go the other way too, amachal. That is, if, let's say, she was a bas Yisrael married to a kohen, and then her husband, the kohen, died, and her child, the kohen, died, but the child had a grandchild that's a mamzer, he still considered a child to say that she's still connected to her husband, the kohen, to that she should be machal, that she continue eating truma. Now, the source for this, the Gemara brings to Rabban, learn the Braisa. The Pasuk tells us in Vayikach of Bez Yud Gimel, it says, Uvas Kohen, which is the halachas that we're talking about, Kisi Amana Grusha, if the daughter of a Kohen will be widowed or divorced, then the Pasuk tells us, Vezera Ein Law, and if she doesn't have children, then the Pasuk tells us, Veshaval Bez Avia, she'll go back to her father's house, like she was in her youth before she got married, and Melechem Avia Teichel, she could continue eating from her father's bread, meaning she could eat Truma. Now, on that, the Braisa tells us, Ainli Elozara, I would only know this that if she has or doesn't have children, then that would be the criteria if she can go back to her father's household. Zera zara minayin, and how do we know that she's still connected to her husband, the Yisrael, if she even has grandchildren, even if, let's say, her children died, but she has grandchildren that she can't be b'shava b'saviyam. Tamalem if zera ainla, the Pasuk says she doesn't have children. Mikom akum, which that's equivalent of whatever the situation is. Doesn't mean just children. Any type of a child, any type of seed that came from her will forbid her from going back to her father's household. Now, the Braisa continues, Ainli ela zera kasha, I would only know if it's a valid child, zera possibly not, how do we know if it's invalid children, like a mamza, who's illegitimate, they cannot even enter the kahila of Kala Yisrael, that would be considered she has a child to say that she can't go back to her father's household. So tamalem if a zera ainla. As the Pasuk teaches us that it has the extra yud, as we explained in the previous staff, it could have said ain without a yud, it says with a yud. To darshan ayin Allah, that as if ayin and alpha are interchangeable, and with a yud, it's ayin Allah to analyze and check. Is there any child, even one that you don't consider a child because it can't marry into the general population of the Jewish people? There is, even a mamzer, that's included in zera ain law, and therefore if she has even a grandchild, a mamzer, she can't go back. Now that the Gemara asked, "V'afikse la zera zara," how can you dash from the pasuk of a zera ain law to say including a mamzer? But we just said a second before that you needed for the fact of grandchildren. How can you learn both halachas that either one, which we wouldn't know, are going to be included in that extra pasuk? So the Gemara says, "No zera zara la yitzchak." Actually, grandchildren don't need a pasuk to use a zera ain law for it. Rather, it's being used for the mamzer. Because b'nei ban, marim keban, that's halacha that the Gemara teaches on samach beiz mebeiz, and which will, that in perek abal yevimtoi, that grandchildren have the same halachic status as children. And therefore, that we don't need to teach you when it says that v'zera inla, obviously that includes grandchildren too. So ki yitzchak kral, the zera pasul must be that when the pasuk is telling us v'zera inla mekamokim, it's coming to include even zera pasul, even a mamzer. And therefore, if this woman has a grandchild, a mamzer, as we know, b'nei banim is kabanim, and the pasuk teaches us as even a mamzer, so therefore she's still connected to her husband Yisrael, and therefore he'll be paisel. And the same thing will be in the reverse of Meichel. Now, regarding the case we just spoke about of a grandchild, a mamzer, that then we said he'll be paisel Meichel regarding his grandmother, so the case conceptualization of that was mentioned on Mishnah. How is that? That this woman will have a grandchild, a mamzer. So the way the Mishnah said it was that an oivik achavim or eved, that's Ba'a Bas Yisrael. Let's say this woman has a daughter, and then the Eivik Achav Mo Eved cohabits with her. Then we said that the child, that daughter's child will be a mamzer. So hence the grandmother has a grandchild, a mamzer. So on that particularity of the case, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rosh Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Keman, who is our Mishnah like that says that Eivik Achav Mo Eved Ba'a Bas Yisrael, that the child's a mamzer? So that the Gemara says, Kareb Kiva. It seems like that our Mishnah is going to Kareb Kiva. Because there's only a negative prohibition of a Jewish woman to cohabit with a non-Jew or a slave. And yet still, it's saying that the child's going to be a mamzer. Now, there's a machlekes regarding what creates a mamzer. Now, those who say that it has to be chiv misabezdin, those who say chiv akaris, and it's Rabbi Kiva who is the biggest chiddush that says even from a negative prohibition. So it seems like our Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva because it's saying that the grandchild is a mamzer from an eved or eved kechavim. Now the Gemara says, you could say it's even like Rabbanon that argue and say that generally Chiv Olavin does not create a child of Mamzer. But Ba'evi Kachav Ma'evin might do, they agree, in the case of a non-Jew and a slave, that the child will be a Mamzer. As we see, the Chiyasa Rav Dimi, Amr Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dimi, Mishum Rabbeinu, that they say the name of Rebbe. And that is, although it's we had recorded on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, that Rebbe argues on Rebbe Kiva, where the way he said it, he said a statement that Ein Dvarim Halacha Amur Mei Di Rebbe Kiva. He says, oh, this halacha was only said according to Rebbe Kiva, which the inference is as if that he argues on it. Now, in spite of that, Rebbe was on record as saying that Oyvei Kechavim Forever Haba Bas Yisrael, that he agrees in the case of when a non-Jew or a slave cohabits with a Jewish woman, that Havlad is Mamzer, that the child will be a Mamzer. As the Gemara told us in Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, the reason is because by a non-Jew it says Loi Teschatin, that there is no marriage, and the Eved it says Loi Si Kadesh, that there's no Havaya, there's no marriage, and therefore, although generally they hold that Kedushin is Toivis B'chiyavalav and not like Rebbe Kiva, and hence it will not create a child a Mamzer, they agree that although it's just a negative prohibition by Eved and Eved Kechavim, but however, still they hold that Kedushin will not be Toivis, as the Pesukim tell us, and therefore, since there's no Kedushin, the child will be a Mamzer, even according to those who argue generally on Rebbe Kiva. Now, the Mishnah concluded that a Kohen Gadol, what's interesting is that although you would think a Kohen generally feeds those that are related to him and that are under his acquisition truma, the Mishnah said ironically you could have a Kohen Gadol that Pa'am Shapaisal, sometimes he'll invalidate, actually create someone that was allowed to eat truma besides him, now because of him he invalidates someone from eating truma, which was the case of if he's the grandchild of a woman married, let's say Bas Kohen, married to Yisrael, who the only one left, her husband died, the Yisrael, her child died, and now only the grandchild who's a Kohen Gadol, or could be a Kohen Gadol, he actually will invalidate it from eating Truma. Now, Tana Banu Limna Braisa that makes this contrast regarding that a Mamzer, if she has a grandchild, will feed her Truma. Yet, you can have a Kohen Gadol, if he's a grandchild, that will invalidate it from eating Truma. And therefore, the Braisa says that you can have a grandmother that will say the following statement. She'll say, Harein kaparas ben biti. Let me be an atonement for my daughter's son, where he's kuza, where kuza is a small vessel. In other words, even though he's something deficient, that although he's an illegitimate child, let me be the atonement for him. And because shamechilenim betruma, because he makes me eat truma, because we're talking about a case where this Yisraelis, this non-Kohen woman, Abbas Yisrael, got married to a Kohen. Now, but the Kohen husband died. Her daughter from her died. The only one left over is her illegitimate child. But as we said before, a mamzer is Michael. So therefore she says, okay, look, at least he's doing that for me. But ve'eni kaparas ben biti, I'm not going to be the atonement for my daughter's son. That's Keda, that's a very distinguished vessel. In other words, that's a Kohen Gadol, she'poislani min ha'truma, because he actually invalidates me from truma. Where after that first husband that was a Kohen, she then got married to a Yisrael. Then the Yisrael husband died, and her daughter from that marriage died. But her son, who that daughter had married a Kohen, and therefore that son could be a Kohen Gadol, he actually invalidates his grandmother from eating truma, because through that grandchild, she's still attached to that husband, which was a Yisrael, and therefore, although she's a Bas Kohen, or she had that previous marriage of Kohuna to be able to eat, still because of now that she's tied to this Yisrael, she cannot eat truma, and therefore, something great about my grandchild, the Mamzer, but not Kaparis. I'm not going to be an atonement for my other grandchild, albeit that he's a Kohen God. Hanulach Amanu, we shall return to you the seventh parak of Masechta Zivamis, parak Amanu. With that, we begin the eighth parak, parak Ka'ara, which continues originally on the theme of Truma and Kuhuna, as we said, regarding those individuals that they are Meichel B'Truma or they place from Truma and who's allowed to eat Truma. And then continues into other halachas related to arelos, to circumcision. So the Mishnah begins ha'aril, regarding someone that's uncircumcised, which Rashi says it's even a kohen that's an aral, that his brothers died because of circumcision, which according to halacha does not mandate him to do circumcision, because or else he's going to die like they did to also. But even so, if he's uncircumcised, and v'chalat meim or any kohen that's tamei, lo yochlu b'truma. So if there's a Kayan that's allowed to eat Truma, but he's Tameh, he's richly impure, or he's uncircumcised, he's not allowed to eat Truma. However, as we continue on the theme of the previous Perek, Neshehen V'Avdehen, their wives and their slaves, Yechel B'Truma, they could eat Truma. And the reason is because although that they can't eat Truma, But the fact that they're uncircumcised or tame does not say they're not kohanim. It's just that they're lacking some perfection, something that's just an impediment. But they're regular valid kohanim, and therefore all their kinyan cosplays, their wives and their slaves, could eat truma. Now, however, a betsua dako, which the Mishnah will shortly explain the details of that, but it's reference to somebody that his testicles were crushed, ukroi shafcho, or someone that was cut off from his member, from the atara, from the corona, from the tip, towards the body, from there towards the body got cut off, then hein v'avdein yoichlu. So then them and their slaves could eat, because he's a kohen, and his slaves are kinyan kasbay. However, v'nesheihen, but the wives of the betsua daka and the korei shafcha, lo yoichlu, they cannot eat. And the reason is because when they cohabit, when they have intimacy, then the Petsua Daka and the Korei Shavcha, who are Pasal Lovei Bakal, then, since they're Psulim, they make the women that they cohabit with, albeit that it's their wives, into Chalalis, and because she's having Bia with a Psula. And therefore, Lo Yoichlu, therefore, they cannot eat Truma, because she becomes a Chalala, and the Chalala cannot eat Truma. Now, however, the Mishnah qualifies V'im Lo Yadah, but if he didn't cohabit, he wasn't intimate with her, Mishanasa Betsua Daka Korei Shavcha, let's say he was married with her 10 years. And then there was an accident and one of his testicles got crushed or his member got cut off, but they were already married beforehand. Then Harei Yechlu, then they could continue eating because then the wife was never Ba, she never had cohabitation with a apostle, so therefore she's still allowed to eat as a regular Kenyan cosplay of a kind. Now the Mishnah clarifies V'ezehu Betsua Daka. What type of a person is considered someone that has a crushed testicle that's in that hagdara in the qualification of the pasuk that invalidates a woman that he cohabits with? It's called shenifzu habitzim shaloi. It's anyone that his testicles were crushed. V'afal achsman, even if one of them got crushed, it already makes him into betsua daka. And what's ukrei shafcha? That's called shenichras hagid. Any man, which in this case is talking about a kohen, that his member got cut off. However, Mishnah qualifies. If it was left over from the corona, a filikachot hasaira, even like a hair's breadth, which means to say from the atara, from the crown towards the end of the member, then kosher, then the kohen will still be kosher and is not considered korei shafcha. And the reason is because from the corona towards the end is just considered flesh. It's not considered gid from the member itself. And the reason is because the gid, the member that we're talking about, which is the primary a characteristic of what makes it korei shafcha, is only from the corona, from the crown, towards the body. As Rashi qualifies that the atara, what's the corona? It's the row of flesh that surrounds the place of where the circumcision is on the height. And that's where it starts sloping towards the end, towards the tip. That's just the atara. So if there's even just a little bit left of that, that means to say that the gid wasn't cut, and therefore he wouldn't invalidate his wife in that situation. Now the Gemara goes back to elaborate on the first halacha, that of ha'aral. So Tanya Loin Abraisa, Amr Abliyazer, Minayin la'aral shein oichel betruma, which is the halacha we opened up with, the first halacha. How do we know that someone that's uncircumcised, even though he's a kohen, cannot eat truma? So there's two opinions mentioned in the Abraisa. Abliyazer says, Nemar teisha v'sachar bepesach. It says these terms, teisha v'sachar, which means literally a resident and someone that was hired regarding Pesach. The Nemar Teishav B'Sachar B'Truma, and it also says Teishav B'Sachar by Truma, as it says that in the pasuk Teishav Kayin B'Sachar Lo Yechol Kaidish. So the Teishav and the Sachar of a Kayin cannot eat from Truma. Now, therefore, we say Ma Teishav B'Sachar Amar B'Pesach, just like we say by the Karban Pesach that a Teishav and Sachar cannot consume from the Karban Pesach. Moreover, regarding the halachas of Karban Pesach, Aral Asabai, an uncircumcised person is not allowed to partake from the Karban Pesach. So therefore, we make a Gzer Shava. So just like by Teishav Esachah by Truma, it says that the Teishav Esachah cannot partake of Truma. So Aral Asrabai, so also someone uncircumcised can also cannot partake of Truma, just like we find by Karban Pesach. Just like we say by both Teishav Esachah cannot consume, and just like over there by Pesach, also an Aral cannot eat. So here also by Truma, also an Aral cannot eat. Now Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says a different opinion. He says, Ein Itzarch, you don't need this Gezer Shavah. Because Harei Omer, it says, a Pasuk in Meyikr, it says, Ish, Ish. Which the pasuk there says, every man, mizera Aaron, from the children of Aaron, v'hu tzeruah, or izav, and if he has tzeras, or he has a tumah v'zav, so then he cannot eat truma. Now, l'rabba is ha'aral. The extra term ish-ish comes to include someone that's uncircumcised, that he's like all those other individuals mentioned in the pasuk that are tamei, where that context of that pasuk is talking about truma. Because it says uvah hashemesh v'tar, because it tells you that when it's sundown and then they become pure, it says v'achal yochem ha'kachim, then they're allowed to eat from the kachim. Now that's obviously not kachim like karbanas, but rather must be talking about truma, because kachim it's not enough with sundown. Only truma is enough with sundown, and there the pasuk says it's not enough with sundown. Therefore, it must be talking about truma, and ish ish is coming to include who else is possible for truma. It's talking about also someone that's uncircumcised. So those are two different opinions. Rabbi Kiva's opinion will be elaborated on the next daf. Now the Gemara elaborates on the first of these two opinions. How do we know that an oral, someone that's uncircumcised, is forbidden to partake of truma? So Amar, first opinion mentioned the Brisa was Rabbi Elazar Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Nemar Teisha B'Sacha B'Pesach." It says this term by Pesach, "V'Nemar Teisha B'Sacha B'Truma." Now, "Ma Teisha B'Sacha Omer B'Pesach Aral Asal Boy." "Sam Teisha B'Sacha Omer B'Truma." We said Aral Asal Boy. That was what was said in the Brisa. On that, the Gemara comments, "Mufna." It must be that the term Teisha B'Sachar is superfluous. That the Elav Mufna, because if it wasn't extra, then you could ask on this Gezeirah Shava and say, "Wait a second, Ma'ala Pesach Shekin Chayav Nilav." Because if we find by the Karban Pesach, yes, there's a certain stringency, but we find other stringencies by it that where the Karban Pesach is, we find in general regarding Karbanos. For example, like by Karban Chatas, that if one eats it, he's liable mishum pigul, because of pigul, which is when the kohen that's doing the avodah has intent that it should be consumed for the avodah to be done chutzlis manai or chutzlum kaimai, beyond the place where it's allowed to be eaten, or beyond the time that it's allowed to be eaten, or v'noiser, if it was left over a certain amount of time that it's allowed to be eaten, or v'tamei, or if the person has, his body is tamei. All of these have a punishment of karis, because that includes Karban Pesach, where it's kachim, and all kachim have this halacha, whereas that doesn't apply by truma. Truma doesn't have halacha pigul or nicer, and even by tuma, it doesn't have a punishment of karis. And therefore, who said you could learn out truma from Pesach? Maybe Pesach, an oral, an uncircumcised person, is forbidden, because we find certain stringencies, like we find of pigul, nicer, tame, whereas by truma, you don't have those stringencies. Maybe it won't have the stringency either of an oral. So therefore, it must be that it's a mufna. When it's extra, then we don't ask questions, and we say that, okay, we'll learn out the Gzeir Shav anyway. So the Gemara says, you're right, lo'ay. In truth, yes, afnui mufna, it must be that the term is superfluous, because or else we wouldn't be able to learn it out from the other one, because there's certain stringencies there. So the Gemara asks, so hey mufna, so which one of these two that says Teisha V'Sachar is superfluous? The one by Truma or the one by Pesach? One of them has to be extra to learn out this Gezeirah Shavah, even though there's a question. So the Gemara says, Ida Truma, if you're saying it's the one that it says Teisha V'Sachar by Truma, that to say that Teisha V'Sachar cannot eat Truma, that's not extra, because Mitzvah Strichi, actually that's necessary to teach us the following halacha. To sound like learn the Braisa, that the Braisa actually defines these terms to say a certain Chiddush in halacha of Truma. The word Taisha, which literally means settled, the Braisa says, Zek Kono Kinyan Olam. That's a reference to an Eved Ivri that was what's called Nirza, which is a halacha when he already filled his 6 years, and he says, I want to stay longer as a slave to this man. So then they are Marzea, they make a hole in his ear, and then he becomes Kono Kinyan Olam, which doesn't mean forever. He's acquired for his master until Yaifa. Now, that the Pasuk is teaching us that even though he's like a real slave now, he's like his for like maybe up to 50 years, but his body is not acquired to a kohen like an Eved Kanani that he should be able to eat truma. Maybe the Pasuk is saying that a Taishav cannot eat truma. Now the term Sachar that he's hired comes to say Zekon Kinyan Shanim. That's someone, a regular Eved Ivri, who's only acquired for a certain amount of years, meaning up to 6 years, that he also cannot eat truma from the kohen. Now the question obviously is, the Yemet Taishav, just say the term of the resident who's the Kana Kinyan Olam that he cannot eat Truma, Val Yomer Sachar, and don't say Sachar, because Vani Yomer, I'll say, pretty obvious, Kana Kinyan Olam Eina Oichel, if someone that's acquired forever, which literally means up until Yaival, he cannot eat Truma, although he's like a real acquisition, Kana Kinyan Shanim LeKoshken, so if someone's only for 6 years, obviously he cannot eat Truma, because both of them are not, their bodies are not acquired like an Eved Kanani, so why do you say Sachar if you already say Taishav? So that the Gemara explains and elaborates, because Ilu Kain, had we only said Toshav, then I would have defined the definition of Toshav, I would have said that's a reference to someone that's only acquired for 6 years, and that's why it's forbidden in Truma. I would have said if he's acquired forever, then he would eat Truma, because then we would consider as if he really isn't, he is a Kenyan Kasboy like Ebed Kenani. That's why Basachar, the extra term of Sachar, comes. And Valimita teaches us that what we have to say is, it defines by default al Toshav, that Pasuk obviously is coming to tell us a reference to even a step up, even for Nirtza, Sha'af api shakana kini oilam aina oichal, that even if it's someone that's a Nirtza that's forever, for 50 years, then even then it's not going to eat. In other words, by the fact that it's writing two psukim, you have to say logically that Toshav is the one that's a resident, he's going to be there for many years, and Sachar is just hired, he's just there for a short time, and therefore we needed Sachar to reflect on Toshav, that the Toshav is Kinyan Olam, and not just a Kinyan Shana. Now, but one thing we see from that the Gemara's question is, obviously the terms Toshav and Sachar is not superfluous, not mufna by Truma, because we needed to actually teach this halacha, that the Kana Kinyan Olam, though Eved Ivri, that's going to be there for 50 years, is not going to be able to eat Truma. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, rather, it's the Seicher and Toshav, the Pesach, where it says over there, Lo Yoich Lubay, that's the one that's Mufni, that's extra. As the Gemara explains, because Hai Toshav Asachav, the Kazar Achamon of Pesach. This that says that a Toshav and a Sachar don't partake from the carbon Pesach. Mind you, what exactly, who are we talking about when we say the Toshav and the Sachar do not partake from the carbon Pesach? Ename a Toshav Asachav Mamish, if you think it literally means like we said in the context of the Pasuk of Truma, that it's a reference to a regular Eved Ivri, either whether he's Kana Kinyan Shanim or a Nirtza. So the question is, did that make sense? B'shem dehavali Toshav Asachar Iftali mePesach, because he's now a slave, whether a 6-year slave or a 50-year slave for a Jewish owner, this Jewish person who was just a slave for a Jewish man, he becomes exempt from the Karban Pesach, he's a regular Jew. Moreover, V'alkayim Elan Gam B'Truma, we just illustrated by the Lachos of Truma, D'Loy Ochel, that he doesn't eat Truma. Now, we continue our Talmud Beis. Amo, what do we see from that halacha? The lekaner le rabbe, his master does not acquire him in physical sense. He's not owned by his master. And that's why he doesn't get to eat truma from his master. So, also his body's not acquired by rabbe, by his master. And therefore, he's not like some type of an entity owned by someone else. He's not his own Jew. So, therefore, he's a regular full-fledged Jew. So, of course, he's chayav in the Karban Pesach. So, what is Toshav Asachar that's saying that does not eat truma, that does not eat Karban Pesach, in the context of Pesach said, it can't be talking about a classic Toshav Asachar. So, the Gemara says, Elafnu, you're right. What's it being said for? Not to tell you a halacha of Toshav Asachar. It must be that it's extra to reflect this Gezeirah Shava by halachas of Truma, because if without Mufna you wouldn't be, because there's certain strings by Pesach, but now that you have an extra Pasuk, comes to say just like Arul is Pasul by Pesach, so there's Arul Pasul by Truma. And that's the source from Rebbe Eliezer that we know that an Arul is Pasul by Truma. Now that the Gemara asks, but Vakati Mufna Mitzad Echad Hu. So, fine, we showed that one of the psukim of Toshav Asachar is superfluous to teach us that we could learn this Gezeirah Shavah. But it's still a one-sided mufna, meaning the pasuk of Toshav Asachar by Truma is not superfluous. Now, v'shamina lel Rebbe Elazar da'ama, but we already have Rebbe Elazar on record as saying that mufna mitzad echad lemeidin, mufna, if it's only a one-sided superfluous, then if there's no refutation of that Gezeirah Shavah, then you could learn the Gezeirah Shavah. However, if there's somebody to ask on it and say, wait a second, how could you learn? There's a stringency by the other one, like it is in this case, where Pesach has certain stringencies of Pigal, Neser, and Tumah that's not by Truma, Umeshivan, that then we do refute. And since here we have a refutation, therefore, how could we learn out the halachal of Truma regarding Aril from the halachas of Pesach regarding Aril? So that the Gemara answers, Kivin de Leguve Leitzarach. Since regarding the context of the halachas of Pesach itself, when it says Toshav Asachar should not partake of Pesach, there's no halacha pertaining to Pesach at all. As we said, actually, you can't translate it literally because Toshav Asachar actually do eat from the Karban Pesach. So essentially, it's like two extra psukim. The term of Toshav and the term of Asachar are both extra. Now, therefore, as the Gemara says, what you do is Shadichat Alomid. You take one of the extra terms and you place it on the derivative, the what's being learned to, meaning the halachas of Truma, which is what we're learning at Oral 2, and Vishadichad Amalamed, and you keep one, which on the one that's teaching to the, meaning you keep one with Halachas of Pesach. V'havalik Zeres Shava Mufin Mishnei Tzad, and what you end up with is Zeres Shava that's superfluous on both sides. And that regarding when it's Mufin Mishnei Tzad, then there everybody agrees that Ve'e Meshivin. Even if there's what to ask, like there is in this context, here, to get the Taisha B'Sachar, you take one, you put it on, you don't need two, so you take one, put it on the Halachas of Truma, you have one, you keep it by Halachas of Pesach, now you have an extra Pasuk by Truma, extra Pasuk by Pesach, and that's a Mufin Mishneid Stadin, because you don't need either one of those terms, and there, according to everybody, even according to Balaza, Halacha is, we're not Meshivin, and we will learn this, because Zayah Shav have an oral being Pasul for Truma, like the first Halacha in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, if we're making such a Gzeir Shava, then E ma Pesach einin asabayit, so then say a full Gzeir Shava. And that is to say a different halacha, that regarding Pesach, an einin, someone that lost their relative that day, that an einin is forbidden to partake from the Karban Pesach, because that's actually halacha that applies to all Karbanas, all Kachim, as it's learned out actually a Kavul Chaimah from Meiser, as the Gemara and Daf Ayin Gimel Manav will explain this halacha. Now, so therefore you should say, Av Truma einin asabah. So therefore, also Truma and Oinin should be forbidden, and that's not the halacha. But if you're learning Gzeres Shava, you should say a full Gzeres Shava. And that is just like by Pesach Oinin Zasa. So to buy Truma Oinin Zasa. So that Amar of Yisro Chanin, it says, no, I'm a crop. Pasuk tells him a Yikra, which is talking about the context of the halacha of Truma. It says, V'chol Zar, and any non-Kain, lo yechel kodesh, he cannot eat Truma. Now, on that, Zar Samati Lach, what is the Pasuk telling you? That only a zar cannot eat truma, a non-kain, but we're not excluding an oinin from eating, from not being able to eat truma. Now that the Gemara asks, what's called mehechadesa? How do you know that? Ema v'loy arlis, maybe say, when the pasuk says, and any non-kain cannot eat truma, only non-kain, that will make forbidden to eat truma. But not someone that's uncircumcised, who said even an uncircumcised kain should be able to eat truma, because he's a kain, he's not a zar, just like you're saying regarding aninas. Now that the Gemara says, no, but how accept Taisha B'Sachar? We just explained to you, Gzeres Shava from Pesach that says Taisha B'Sachar to say, just like by Pesach, Arul is Pasul, so to by Truma, Arul is Pasul. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Umar Risa. Where did you see fit? There's one Pasuk that's inclusive and one Pasuk that's exclusive. And therefore, why did you see fit to include that an Arul is going to be Pasul and Truma and to exclude Aninus, to say that's not a Psul? Maybe say the other way around. Maybe say that actually V'chol Zar says that only non-kain is a psul and not uncircumcision. Yet this that's being included, a psul from Taisha B'Sachar, will say that just like an ayin is possible by Pesach, so too an ayin is possible by Truma. So I think Gemara says, no. Mistabra, it's logical to say that Arelus Havalei L'Ribuye, that the one that we're including as a psul from Karban Pesach is the fact that it's being uncircumcised. Shekain, the reason is because you have the following mnemonic that applies to Arelus. You have Maisim, which there's two actions that the Gemara is going to explain. You have Krusim, that is the element of Karas. And Bidvar Eved, regarding the words of the slave, which means to say that there's a component of Dibur, and there's also a component of regarding a person's slave. Now, the Gemara explains mnemonic. It's, first of all, one thing is Mechusa Maisa. There's, regarding being uncircumcised, It's more of a psul than, let's say, aninus, because it's lacking an action. You have to go to be non-psul anymore of being an uncircumcised person. You have to do an action of circumcision. Moreover, this is the maisim, umaisa bagufa, the action has to be in the body itself. The person himself is psul. Third of all, v'anish karas. If one doesn't do circumcision, there's a punishment of karas. And fourth of all, v'yeshen lifnei adibur. It was such an important mitzvah that it was even given before Matan Torah. And the fifth component, umilas zchar v'avada, the circumcision of a person's children or slaves, meaning if a person has a son that's already fit to be circumcised or a slave that's eligible to be circumcised, me'akevis, it makes the father or the master of those individuals forbidden to eat the Karban Pesach only if they circumcise their children or slaves. As the Pasuk says in Shema Yisid Beis, he may loichol zachar, and then yikrav. So too, by an Eved, it says, Umalta Isael, circumcise him, az yoichel, but then he could eat. As Rashi explains, who can then eat? Then the master could eat. Because regarding the slave himself, if he's uncircumcised, obviously, because everyone's included in kol or lo yoichel by. So obviously the slave cannot eat until he's circumcised. Who are we including in then he could eat is a reference to the master. And therefore, the circumcision of a person's children or slaves makes the owner, the master, the father, forbidden to eat the Karban Pesach until he's circumcised. So you see that Arelus, being uncircumcised, has all these stringencies. Therefore, it makes sense that it's the one that we're including in the psul for Truma. Another Gemara asks, Adarabba, to the contrary. Aninus, the fact of someone that's an Einin, in the state of having just lost a relative, it actually should be more possible than Arelus. Because Havalei Rebuye, that you should include it, that's the one that's possible for Truma, because it has the following stringencies. Shekein yesh nebuchal shah, it's something that's applicable at any moment, meaning at any moment that a relative of his dies, he'll be an oinen. But that's in contrast to a person that's uncircumcised in his body, where the moment that he circumcised himself, he can never have that problem of a relis ever again in his life. Moreover, aninus is v'nehegis ba'nashah v'nashim, it applies to men and women, whereas being uncircumcised only for men. And third of all, v'ein b'yad l'sakin asasmoy, aninus is such a psul that you can't even fix yourself, because you just have to wait until the period of aninus is over. Whereas regarding the halacha of arelus, you could fix it. It's not such a psul. You can circumcise yourself. So maybe we should say that we're including aninus, not arelus. So the Gemara says, hanach nefishin, but those of arelus are either four or five elements of being uncircumcised of stringencies, which is more than the stringencies of aninus, which are only three, and therefore it makes sense that that's the psul that we're going to include for truma, and not the halacha of aninus. And actually aninus is saying that it's not a psul from the pasuk b'chozar. Now Rav Amar, he says another answer. He says, "Beloy hanach nefishin." Besides the fact that those, like you said, that those of arelus are more psulim, more stringencies than then of aninus, and that's why we're including it as a psul for truma. Nami loy matzisa amrit. Still, even without that fact, you wouldn't be able to learn out regarding the halachas of truma from Pesach, regarding aninus, to say that the other pasuk of a cholzar is going to be excluding arelus, to say that arelus is not a psul. Because the reason is as follows. Would you think that Shafkinan Arelus, we're going to leave Arelus and not learn that out from Tetruma, from Exeris Shavav, Teshav Esach, from Pesach, where Dechsev Beguf, the Pesach, the invalidation of being uncircumcised is written explicitly in the Pasuk that someone that's uncircumcised cannot partake of the Karban Pesach. So he's saying that we're not going to learn as Exeris Shavav, Tetruma, because actually V'chalzar will exclude Arelus. And yet, V'yalfinan Aninus from Pesach? What? You think we're going to learn Aninus from Pesach? Where the Pesach Gufe, the fact that an Oinin cannot partake from the Karban Pesach, is only Mimaisa Gamrinan. It doesn't even say that explicitly in the Pasuk by Karban Pesach. It's only, as the Gemara will explain in Daf Ayin Gimel, is learned out from a Kavochem from Maisa. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that we're going to learn as a Gezer Shava, Truma from Pesach for Aninus, where it doesn't even say that Halacha over there explicitly, and not learn Arelus, which is explicitly in the Pasuk. It definitely makes more sense to learn out what's explicit from that which is not explicit, and therefore that's a second teretz, how we know that the Gezer Shav is a reference to Arelus, not to Aninus. Now the Gemara continues asking, if it's a full-fledged Gezer Shav, so we answered the question regarding Aninus, because that's excluded for Cholzar, but there's another question. Ima Pesach, but you should say, continuing the Gezer Shav. Every fine by the Karban Pesach, where Mila's Charvava the Makeves, as we just reward from Rashi, the Pesukim before, that a person's children or his slaves are withholding him from being able to eat the Karban Pesach, I mean, he cannot eat. If his children are uncircumcised or his slaves, well then, Av Truma, you should say his hymn regarding Truma. Mila's Charvava the Makeves, that if a person, a Kayin, has his children or his slaves uncircumcised, he cannot eat Truma. Amad Gemara says, Amar Kra, the Pesach says in Shemais, it says that in Shemais Yud Beis Mendal, it says, B'chol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef, that if any man's slave that was acquired by his money, it says, Umalta Isai, and then he circumcises him, then Az Yechel, but then he could go ahead and partake of the Karban Pesach. Now, on that, the Gemara explains, Milas Zachar Vavadim Akeviz Boi Melechel B'Pesach. Boi is an exclusion, it says, regarding this, regarding Karban Pesach, the circumcision of the slaves and the children will withhold them from eating the Karban Pesach. But he's saying it's only here by Pesach and does not apply to Truma, and that's how we know we're not going to make the Gezeirah Shav regarding that. Now that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if Boi is an exclusion and saying, oh, it only applies over here, let's say by Pesach and not by Truma, well then Ema, then we should say the same thing regarding Ahar Locha Vareilis, which we're learning Gezeirah Shav Truma from Pesach, call Ara La Yichel Boi, It says that any uncircumcised person cannot partake from boy, from this, in the Karban Pesach. You should say, boy ain't oichel, he can't eat from the Karban Pesach. Aval oichel hu betruma, but the arul could eat from truma, which refutes this Gzeir Shavah that we're trying to bring from Rav Elazar. Now that the Gemara says, but hakasef toisha besachar, but you can't say that boy is excluding it, because we have Gzeir Shavah that includes arul that it cannot eat truma. So that the Gemara says, Amari Yisa, where did you see fit? Maybe say to the contrary. Maybe say that the person himself that's uncircumcised could eat truma. And the reason is because he's actually excluded from the psul, from lo yechel boy. He can't eat from Pesach, but he could eat from truma. Now, so what would we learn that from the Gzeir Shavah Teisha Besachar? Maybe that's regarding the other halacha of a person's slaves and children. They're not circumcised, then they cannot eat from truma, as we find in Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, no, mistabra, it makes sense that we should learn that arelis. Degufe hava leil rebuya, that regarding a person's own uncircumcision, that we should include from Pesach to Truma, that would be psul. And the reason is, shekein maisa begufa, because that's something that's an action in his own body, and va'anash karas, if he doesn't circumcise himself, he gets karas. And therefore, that's we should be learning out. So the Gemara says, no, adrabba, to the contrary. Milas charva vadav hava leil rebuya. No, we should include that what's possible by Truma, learning a gzeir shavah from Pesach, regarding the uncircumcision of his children or his slaves, shekin yesh l'machol shah, that has a stringency where it applies at all times. Meaning, when the person circumcises himself, then he's done for lifetime. But the more he could acquire more slaves or have more children, then that psul will always keep on coming back. And therefore, that's maybe a stringency, and that's a psul we should learn out from Pesach. And the Gemara says, hanach nefishin. Yes, but the one of his own uncircumcision is two, whereas that is only one stringency, and therefore, we're going to be learning from the Gzeir Shavah, his own arelas, as our Mishnah said, as Rebbe Elazar is bringing, from the Gzeir Shavah, and not that of his children or slaves. Now, v'ibay semer, as we said regarding the previous Gemara's question, but lo hanach nefishin, even without that, there's more by his own arelas than that of his children or slaves, namele metzis amrit, still you wouldn't be able to say that we're including from the Gzeir Shavah his children and slaves, and not himself. Because mi kemidi, is it possible such a thing? Where his own being uncircumcised does not prevent him from eating truma. That's what you would want to say. And arelis d'achrini ma'akvabe, yet someone else's uncircumcision will make him not being able to eat truma, meaning his son and children? That doesn't make sense. And therefore, obviously, if we have to pick one and exclude the other, we're going to say that it's his own arelis that's a problem, and not that of his children and his slaves. But now the Gemara says, now that you just illustrated that whenever it says boy, it's coming to tell us a drasha. As we said that, for example, by his slaves and his children, where it says that he cannot eat from the Karban Pesach if his children or slaves are not uncircumcised, which we said that boy who ain't echel, but he could eat from truma. Now, then kol ben necher lo yechel boy lomali. So then another pasuk there in the context of halachas of Pesach, where the pasuk says that any ben necher, which means someone that's estranged from his father in heaven, meaning a mummer, cannot partake from boy from the Karban Pesach. What do you need it for? What's he coming to exclude? So now the Gemara says boy. It's coming to say that only regarding the Karban Pesach. We continue on top of Vayin Alf and Alf Hamor is das paiselas. Someone that's estranged from his father, from going away from the way of Torah mitzvahs, only regarding the halachos of Karban Pesach does he become pasul. It's coming to exclude, but regarding the halachos of Meiser, he could partake even if he's someone that has been estranged from his father in heaven. Now, that the Gemara asked, that kol oru lo yoichel boy lomali. Now, the question is, that what is boy when it says kol oru lo yoichel boy? What is boy? In other words, we said that it can't be excluding the oral from Truma, because we said there have Teisha V'Sachar come to include it. But then we're back to the question, but it does say boy by the halachas of Aral, so it's not told by Truma, so then what is being uncircumcised for Bai for Karban Pesach coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, Bai, regarding the Karban Pesach itself, in the Eichel that he cannot eat. But there's something else at the Seder night that he could eat. He could eat, he has to eat Matzah Mar, it's only from Bai, from the Karban Pesach, that he's excluded from. Now the Gemara concludes, V'itzuch l'michtav Aral, we had to say that someone that's uncircumcised is possible from eating Karban Pesach, v'itzvach l'michtav kol bay necher. And he also had to say in the Torah that anyone that's estranged from his father, lo yechel boy, cannot partake of the Karban Pesach. And we would not have known one from the other. The reason is, dikas rachmana oral, had the Torah written that someone that's uncircumcised cannot eat from Karban Pesach, I would have said, mishum demas, because towards Hashem, he's repulsive. His body is incomplete. But someone that's estranged from his father, since he's circumcised, he's not repulsive. He's obviously not doing what Hashem wants from him, but he's not repulsive, and therefore he would be able to eat from the Karban Pesach. Now, because Rachmana Kol Ben Necher had the Torah written that anyone that's estranged cannot eat from the Karban Pesach, Hashem Dein Li B'L Hashem Mayim, because his heart is not to heaven. He's doing other things that Hashem doesn't want. But regarding someone that's uncircumcised, but he's a regular full-fledged Jew, then I would say that maybe he would not be invalid from eating the Karban Pesach. That's why, Tzricha, we have to say both of these individuals cannot partake of the Karban Pesach. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion that mimenu mimenu lomali. Why, when it says, for example, in the context of the Pasuk of al toichlu mimenu no, that you shouldn't partake of the Karban Pesach half-roasted. Now, it uses the term mimenu, and they use it more than once. The question is, just like we're saying bai is exclusionary, this is what the oral or the mumr cannot eat from. And what's that coming to exclude? And we had to explain what it's excluding. So when it says mimenu from it, what is it coming to exclude? When it says in the context of all the psukah, mimenu, mimenu, what's that coming to exclude? So the Gemara answers, look at the Rabbah Amr Yitzchak, which the Gemara later on, Daf Ayin Dalam, will explain that he says this three times in the context of the Psukkah of Pesach, Mimenu, and he darshans what it's coming to tell us. But if not, it definitely is a question, what is Mimenu? It sounds like from this, but it would be some type of a meat, as we're saying regarding the halachas of Boi.